Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thought we'd talk a little hoops. Utah basketball and some NCAA basketball. I saw this guy a few weeks ago. He came back to Salt Lake, got in the Huntsman Center, came back and watched a little Utah basketball. It was good to see him. Hadn't seen him in person in several years. It was good to catch up. He makes his home in Southern California, where I can guarantee they didn't have any snow or rain or sleet today as we did here in Salt Lake City. Nick Jacobson joining us here on the Bill Riley Show. I'm going to guess, 65, 67 and sunny where you're at today. Is that about right, Nick?
Bill, I hate to burst your bubble, but it's been a crazy winter of rain, and it's been raining here like crazy. It rained today. It rained last night. I don't know what's happening here. It's like the opposite of global warming, but yeah, it's not those sunny days right now.
So the meteorologists are actually having to go in and do some work in San Diego. I always said those guys should come to work with a ski mask on because they're stealing money. They've got the easiest job in the world being a weatherman or weather gal in California and San Diego.
Exactly. Finally, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, I think they're looking a little nervous on TV because they actually have to, you know, give some information out. But yeah, there's some weather happening down here.
Wow. We've got some weather here, too. It's good catching up with you. It was good to see you a few weeks ago. Got to come back with some of your former teammates and hang out, watch a little Utah basketball. How was that?
Oh, it's so great. I mean, the one thing about college sports in general is you just have these lifetime relationships, and seeing all the guys, whether it's been, you know, I see Britton, you know, pretty often, but guys I haven't seen in a long time, it's like it was yesterday. So it's just a great experience to be back in the Huntsman, to see a game, and to see a lot of guys that I haven't seen in a while.
So I talk to Britt from time to time. He's a busy man. He's now that he's running that show for GM down in St. George and coaching basketball and doing all that stuff. So we don't catch up nearly as often as we used to, but it was good to see him out there as well. But I know you're as big a fan as there is. You love Utah basketball. You always have. You played here. It's important to you. So as you kind of observe from afar, you know, obviously I know it's been frustrating for guys like you that enjoyed great success, a lot of Utah fans too, not to be in the postseason where the tournament's going on right now. But kind of give me your read on what you saw and what you've kind of observed in the first 2 years with Craig on the job.
I think, well, first of all, I think he's done a great job. And I do mean that. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, any coach, you know, from Jack Aletti on, who had to replace Coach Majerus, it's a standard that I think just won't be met. He was a unique individual, a unique coach. And I think that's one of the hardest things here that still, you know, 20 years later, 10 years after he passed away, he's still the standard of Utah basketball. And I think fans, you know, even in the lower years, you know, and I would consider myself on the lower end of, you know, Majerus' success, we were still winning, you know, 25, 26, 27 games and still going to the NCAA tournament, you know, winning a game or two there. And so I think the expectations are still tied to that so long ago. And, you know, there's been some coaches at Utah that I think have been disappointing over the years. And I think Craig is finally one of those guys who gets it, is here for the long run. And I think he's done a good job. I mean, it's a difficult job that is becoming even more difficult with where college basketball is. And so, you know, they were barely 500 last year. Now they're above 500 this year. Conference improved. I mean, he's doing the right things. He's coaching them. And I think, you know, Utah basketball has a good future.
And I think, too, and I mean this in all sincerity, your former teammate being on staff is a great connection to what you were just talking about, you know, the quote-unquote glory years of Rick Majerus, but also having him on staff and having somebody that's got, you know, a tie and a history within the program that's also a really good coach and recruiter helps things, too, with having Burge on staff.
Absolutely, and you nailed it. I mean, first and foremost, he's a great coach. He's a great recruiter. He connects with guys. He really knows what he's doing, and he's going to be a great head coach one day. But to bring him back, and I'm just going to be honest here, a lot of guys 2 years ago were pulling for a different head coach. I think everybody knows the story with, you know, Al Jensen and all of that. I mean, Al's like, you know, one of the guys. And so I think many of us were pulling for Al because I think, like I said, we're all looking for that Majerus level of success, and he's a direct connection to that. But Craig Smith got it, and I'm very glad he brought on a guy like Chris Burgess who has that connection to Majerus and that connection to, you know, the old guys, the guys who were part of that success and want to see more of it in the future.
When you look at college basketball today, not just at Utah, but college basketball on the whole, it's a different game than the one you played. The game on the floor a little bit different, but everything that goes into it, now with NIL, now with transfer portal as well, you know, it's not just that you recruit kids to come to your program. Nick, you have to re-recruit your own kids, knowing that there's going to be some attrition every year of the program, and then you have to bring kids in and then recruit those kids every year too. That hasn't always been the case, but that is the case now in college basketball, and that's tough for coaches.
It's tough. Listen, it's a double-edged sword. Any guy who comes into college who's 17, 18 years old and can get paid a lot of money to play basketball at college, I'm for that. On the other side, I think it's terrible for college basketball, and I think the game's in a lot of trouble as it is. I mean, you can't build a culture when almost every guy after the season goes into the transfer portal. And it, essentially, inside the transfer portal is a free agency. Who will pay me the most if the guys had a decent season to come to their school? So you're getting hit with both ends of it. I mean, if your best player has a great year and you're at a school like Utah, and, you know, say UCLA or Duke or, you know, a bigger program comes knocking, who's going to say no to that? And if your, you know, eighth man thinks he's the fifth or fourth guy and he played some minutes but didn't get as many as he wanted and another school comes knocking, what's he going to do? So it's just, it's a real disaster for college basketball in general. But as a player and as a guy who, you know, in my time at Utah, we got fined by the NCAA for cookies and you know, various things like that with Coach Majerus. I had to pay the NCAA $500. You know, I am totally for a player who's 18 years old getting what he can. But sadly, I think it's, as the current structure is, it's terrible for college basketball and college football as well.
How do you think Rick would have adapted, or would he have adapted to what we have today? Do you think Rick, the Rick you played for, could have coached in today's landscape of college basketball?
Unequivocally, no. Not a chance. I mean, he had his ways, and he was just not of this era. I mean, he just could not deal with not even the NIL stuff and all that stuff with just the player mentality. The culture is so much different. Players are so much different. They are, you know, they expect things more than I think Coach Majerus would ever give to them. I mean, it was tough back in that day. I just can't see anybody really being able to withstand the type of pressure that he was constantly putting on people, you know, and the language and, you know, insults. All of that is just so far out of line with what our culture is today. Not saying it's good or bad, but there's just no way, in my opinion.
What was for you? You and everybody has a different story, because I've talked to you and teammates and guys that played in different eras of Rick. But for you individually, Nick, what was the best part and the most challenging part of playing for Rick?
Well, the best part is that he really did push you to play as hard as you humanly could. I mean, as a group, I mean, I think if anybody watched our games, or when I think back now, I know we played as hard as we could. Like, we left it all out there. I think when it comes to sort of the downsides of his method is, a lot of times it really restricted what you were willing to risk as a player. You know, we used to be in games. I was just talking with some guys. We were at St. Mary's when I was playing, and it was 19-16 at half. I mean, you can't imagine that now because everybody is shooting threes. I mean, I'm definitely in the wrong era. I would love this era. There's no such thing as a bad three. But, you know, Coach had a very specific idea in mind of how often should run, getting the ball to the third, fourth, fifth side before taking a shot. And so in a lot of ways, especially, you know, you talk about a guy like Britton, you know, was really handicapped by the inflexibility of Coach Majerus to kind of adjust to what his strengths were. But, you know, you take the good with the bad, and I think in a lot of ways as a team, you know, we ended up being more successful than we might have otherwise with a coach who had a different style.
How green was your green light? Because you were the best shooter on the team, but how, I mean, and Rick was restrictive. How green was your green light, Nick?
It became fully green about, actually, I don't even know what game it was. It was the before conference of my senior year, if you can imagine. So this is my fifth year on campus because I redshirted. So after we lost at LSU, and I remember this because he had me come and meet him after the game, and he was with Don Donaher, and basically sat down, and him and, you know, Coach Donaher had a conversation, and basically like, hey, we need you to shoot. And Coach said, there's no such thing as a bad shot for you going forward. And that was really my first green light. Coach didn't last that much longer after that. And after the Air Force game, he left. But that was really it. I mean, up until that point, it was very restricted. And, you know, that was just the way it was. I don't think I ever complained about it. But the reality of today's game didn't even exist in my mind. So it was just how it was.
You would thrive in Craig's system today. I mean, I don't even know that Utah fans, if you didn't watch him coach at Utah State, I don't know if Utah fans fully appreciate what Craig really, I think he's getting to the point now, if he can keep his team healthy, to where he wants to play in the style of basketball he wants to play. But a guy with your skill set would have really thrived in Craig's system.
Oh, I would have loved it. I mean, I watched him against Colorado, and I just saw, you know, what he's trying to do. And again, I mean, back to what we talked about, it's a challenge, you know, because you're getting almost a new team every year. And so, you know, he has his work cut out for him, but I think his system is really good. I think he understands, like, who he has as players and how to put them in a position to maximize their ability. And I absolutely would have loved to play for Craig, but then again, I watch any game and I feel like, wow, I'd love to play for that coach, because it seems like everybody is just bombing threes from anywhere at any time.
So you're a pretty analytical guy. You watch that game. You've watched them play before. We know there's a few guys that aren't coming back. Marco Anthony graduated. Two or three guys have gone in the portal now, too. About four scholarships remain. Carlson's future's uncertain. It's probably 50-50 or maybe 60-40 that he probably returns. Maybe he's going to test things, I think, but he hasn't announced yet, so I think there's a good chance he may come back. But looking at this team, for them to take that next step, Nick, because I think if they would have been healthy over the last, you know, month or so of the season, they'd have at least been an NIT team. There was a shot maybe at an NCAA, but to me the next step is getting back to that postseason, getting back to the NCAAs where the program hasn't been in 7 years. What's a missing ingredient or two that you feel like needs to be added this offseason?
Well, I thought they needed a little more depth. I mean, especially when you get into conference, you got to be able to go to the bench, and the guys who come in have to be able to carry the load until you can get your starters back in. And I think they struggled a little bit with that this year. So I think if he can find some guys that can, you know, take those minutes and not lose too much, that would help. And then, you know, some perimeter help, some consistent shooting. I mean, most people now, I mean, I watch the women's team, which is, I mean, they're having a fantastic year. Lynn Roberts does a great job and is probably the best coach on campus. And, you know, their philosophy is threes or layups. I mean, when I was playing, Coach Majerus was all about mid-game, and now it's threes or layups. So you got to have guys that can get to the rim, and you have to have guys who can shoot threes. And so I think he's just got to fill in those spots with some athletic wings. You can always use an athletic foreman, somebody who can stretch out but get to the rim and hit a three. And I don't think we necessarily there. Carlson was more of a, you know, he was a inside out five. And I think we need an outside in foreman, and then just some guards who can get up the floor, push the pace, and knock down threes.
I agree. And again, going back to what I was saying before, I would have loved to have seen Madsen not miss 5 weeks of basketball, because I really felt like before that injury, Gabe was beginning to come into his own. He added a little bit of drive to his game, but he's still the best shooter on the team, and it's not close.
Yeah, I mean, and that kills you. I mean, when you're one of your best shooters is out for an extended period of time, I mean, the whole defense is, you know, the way they prepare for you, they can change, they adjust, because they know they don't have to worry about it as much. And with him being out like he was, that really hurt. And what happens is you get into an extended losing streak, and those kill a season. I mean, You know, that happened to Utah down the stretch, lost a bunch of games in a row, and that really hurt their chances for any hope of postseason. So having a healthy team, always the most critical thing. I mean, it sounds obvious, but, you know, individual players can make or break a coach's career. If you have that stud that can bring you along, you know, you have an Andre Miller who just is lights out all the time, you know, you can win a lot of games. But if those guys get injured and you have those problems, it's tough to win.
Hey, Nick, before I let you go, wanted to pick your brain on something. You live down in San Diego right now. You played in the Mountain West and in those conferences against San Diego State. You see what they do. They're in the Sweet 16 now. They built that beautiful new state-of-the-art stadium down there for football as well. The basketball arena is great, too. The Pac-12 is talking about perhaps expanding. San Diego State seems to be a foregone conclusion if they do. You don't have the L.A. market anymore with SC and UCLA leaving to go to the Big Ten. Do you like the idea of San Diego State becoming a member of the Pac-12?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. They're a good team, don't get me wrong, especially in basketball. Like, they've done a great job over the years, and they're competitive, and I think they would be competitive. I hate the fact that UCLA and USC left the Big Ten. It's ridiculous. You know, their nearest conference game is going to be Nebraska. You know, it's just a crazy alignment. And I think they should just, again, what is this all about? Money, right? It's all about money. And money is going to ruin everything because it's just not sustainable. They should just fast forward everything from here to 5 years from now and create, you know, the AFC East and the NFC, you know, North. I mean, they should just go into the football type of conferences, because that's what it's going to end up as, super conferences. So in the interim, San Diego State, I think, is a good addition. But overall, like everything else that's happening with the NIL and all that, I'm not a big fan of these conferences shifting like this.
No, I'm not either. And I'll be honest, I think USC and UCLA fans are going to hate it. And I think most of the sports outside of football are going to hate it too. Because imagine being the tennis team that has to travel cross-country commercially on a Tuesday to play a Wednesday or a Thursday meet at Rutgers Maryland or at Michigan. It's crazy. I mean, football is one thing. It's a one-day-a-week, one-off, charter-anyway type deal. But I think it's going to absolutely kill the vibe and the fun of some of these Olympic sports. And basketball might be in that shell, too.
Agreed. I mean, there's no rationale for it except for money again. And, you know, I think not only are they going to be in a rude awakening on the travel schedule, but I think football especially, I mean, are they going to be competitive in the Big Ten going against Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, all these teams that, you know, slog it out? It's a different style of football. I think they're going to struggle big time. I think men's basketball, you know, will compete and do well in general, especially UCLA. But I think you're going to combine these crazy travel schedules with, you know, middling success largely, and I think it's a disaster. But, again, the money talks, and they went for the money, and this all leads to super conferences down the road and, you know, basically a mini professional league.
Did you fill out a bracket?
And again,
who's left?
Yeah, who's left? I don't know. Right now, I'm paying more attention to the women's game, to be honest. Utah and LSU are coming up, and I'm pulling for Utah, obviously. But, you know, Caitlin Clark's over there. She's the most exciting player in college basketball, so that's why I'm watching. I have no idea who's going to win on the men's side.
Yeah, nor do I. But I picked Bama straight away because I just think they were a complete team. Shoot, they could lose. You know, two of my Final Four are already gone. Upsets galore everywhere. If there's anything about college basketball today, I don't think there's a great team, and I don't think we've had a really great team in 5 or 6 years. I think there's a lot of really good teams, Nick, but I don't think we have the great team, and I think NIL and transfer portal play in part of that, but I think the one-and-done stuff does too. Guys just don't stick around and develop in college basketball anymore like they used to.
Yeah, and you'll never see a great team again, sadly, at least the way it is now, because it's just, what's the incentive to say? I mean, you can't build a team. The big problem before was like Kentucky and the blue chip teams would get 7 McDonald All-American players and they play together for a year and go on. Well, even that is in jeopardy because now it's the highest bidder. So, you know, Kentucky might be one of those, But at the same time, you're never going to be able to build a culture because everybody who comes in, especially the high-level Division I basketball and football for that matter, believes they're an NBA player. And if you believe you're an NBA player and you played 7 minutes a game and averaged 2 points a game, well, is it your fault or is it the coach's fault? Well, it's the coach's fault every time. And what are you going to do? You're leaving. So there's no way to really build a team to improve a player, and even the mid-major programs who improve their guys are going to lose them to the bigger programs. So I don't know how long this will go, but it's a disaster, and it's sad. But I think it had to happen because of the amount of money that coaches were making and all the money surrounding the players. So I it's totally understandable to me, but I fear for the future.
Hey, thanks for doing this today. It was great to see you a couple of weeks ago. It's great to catch up. We need to do it a little bit more often, and hopefully we're talking about the Utes being back in March Madness next year. Thanks, Nick.
Yep, thanks, Bill.
Take care. Nick Jacobson with us here on the Bill Riley Show today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.